T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Best rates in a generation. Now is the time to use the equity in your home to cash out for a remodel, pay off high-interest credit card debt, or rid yourself of the dreaded PMI. During these volatile times, you need an experienced local loan officer working for you. Call me, Michael Mohan, at 314-336-6050. I'm here in St. Louis, and when you call, you talk to me.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for joining us. Happy Tuesday. It is January 12th. Next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but the next Wednesday, if my math serves me correctly, will be Joe Biden Day. It'll be the inauguration of the next president on January 20th, and we will move forward with quite a different direction than the one we have been in here currently. Each Tuesday, we talk with Jim Carafano. He's the leading expert in national security, also in foreign policy at the Heritage Foundation. And Jim, last time we talked to you was Tuesday right before January 6th, and lots has changed since then. I want to get your reaction as somebody who's in Washington, D.C., to the events that took place last week.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's been a week, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Look, I think everybody is shocked. I think every normal person is shocked that the notion of anyone would conduct political violence on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol and break into a congressional chamber. I mean, we're just all stunned on that. I think we're also not terribly surprised that this town immediately says, not can we all share a moment as all Americans saying that this is wrong and this is not what we want, and instead says, how can I play this for maximum political points for my side? That's just, you know, that's the sad part of this town. And it's just this kind of business as usual, which is really, I think, in the last 4 years, it has become just so Machiavellian. It's the ends literally justify any means. And we've just seen that coming from every political quarter. You know, particularly, look, I've been covering the political violence in our cities for months. And I've watched the media, the leaders in our country, overwhelmingly sit there and just blink like it's not happening. And now they have this, you know, incredible outrage that happened in our Capitol, which I share with them. And I'm like, dude, I've been here for months. Where have you people been? And I think, honestly, I think everybody in the city would just like to get through the inauguration and get on with our lives, to be honest.
For sure.
Jim Carafano, let me flip sides, because I was going to acknowledge what you were just saying, which is that there's been an incredible double standard with not covering the violence over the summer, and now this being very, very covered. But let me flip sides for a second and say, do you think that it's possible that that's because that the media of the world was right there. This is an attack on a government institution rather than, you know, kind of more random things. You know, is it possible that that's the reason that it's getting more coverage?
No, I think we've made very biased political choices in our media on how we've chosen to cover things. I don't think it's just because they're lazy and this just happened to be in their own backyard. This was going to be a big story regardless of the politics, as it should be. I mean, political violence in this country, that's not what this country was built on. We created a system with checks and balances, which is imperfect. We all get that. And constitutional rights of freedom of expression and freedom of press, all to give safety valves for people to express whatever grievances they possibly can, do anything they possibly want, short of the notion of killing their fellow Americans or harming or injuring their fellow Americans or destroying their property to make their point. It's why I raise the red flag about political violence all year long. And here's the thing is, you know, don't think this goes quietly into the night. And this goes for every aspect of the political spectrum. When you shut down the extremist, terrible rhetoric that we've had, there are people that just, they won't stop. They will continue, like we saw in the 1960s. You know, people didn't go quietly into the night. You had the Weathermen in the 70s and the Red Brigade and other people that took their violence into the streets. That's the cost of what you pay for this. Even now, look, all right, you know, the reality is we elected a president. We elected him to serve 4 years. When you elect a president to serve 4 years, you would only remove them under the most clear and extreme circumstances, because when you do that, you invalidate the will of everyone that voted for them. So even now, in the waning days of a presidency, to essentially say, well, we still want to remove the president, even though when there is not a clear and compelling case to do that, is just more politics. And I think that's what I'm talking about. It's not just the left. I mean, we see on the right as well. But, the other thing, look, we have, you know, millions and millions of Americans voted for the president, and their opinion matters too. And there weren't 70 million people trying to break in to the U.S. Capitol. I think rather than the starting point should have been every American of every stripe and every color condemns political violence and especially condemns in our national capital. That should have been the point we started from, and it wasn't. And I think that's a loss for the country.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. We're speaking with Jim Carafano with Heritage Foundation. I think that we need to know where we've been to know where we're going. And the drastic change in the way our country is going to be led with the exit of Donald Trump and the entrance of Joe Biden is going to be quite something to take. And I can't help but look at the media's responsibility going forward, their responsibility in the past, whether they've met that responsibility or not, as just at the epicenter of how we can possibly grow in a positive way from where we've been. I see so many arguments, Jim, from people comparing the events, the protests of last summer to what's going on now. And everybody is trying to have the discussion like what's worse. It seems to me like what took place last week and last summer is all bad. And at the end of any conversation like that, we've just basically come to some conclusion that everything is awful. Like what happens next, Jim?
Yeah. Well, let me turn it to, you know, my issues, which is really, you know, foreign policy and national security. And because you raise a really, really important point. Look, we don't know what the Biden team is going to do. We have a bunch of Obama people, so it's like Obama 3.0. But we don't know what policies they're actually going to implement, how much they'll follow or deter from the Trump policies, regardless of what they say in public. We would really benefit from a national media and commentators and punditry who objectively looked at Biden's emerging foreign policy and said, okay, is this better? Is this worse? Is this really the same? We just call it something different because different guys are in charge. That's really, really important. We're in an era of great power competition. We have the Chinese coming at us, the Russians, the Iranians. We got to worry more about North Korea. We can talk about that. It's an important time for us to get foreign policy right. And if the answer is, if I'm a conservative, the answer is everything Biden does is wrong. Or if I'm a Biden sycophant, everything Biden does is right. that's not how you evaluate foreign policy.
Yeah.
Jim Carafano on the phone with a leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage. Jim, with these kind of rogue nations still out there, you know, it seemed like they knew where they stood with Trump, and Trump wasn't going to allow any funny business. Are they, especially with Iran, are they kind of testing the waters now and saying, yeah, well, Trump's going to be gone, so we're gonna push back a little bit and see what happens?
Yeah, I'm actually seeing ramping up on from Iran, China, and North Korea. I'll just run through lightning fast. China just expelled the World Health Organization team, not a friendly sign. Doubly cracked down on Hong Kong, and they're going to do more crackdowns on Hong Kong. All signs that they want to show that they're strong, and they're not going to start out placating Joe Biden. So that's Iran. Iran has been way more aggressive, and that's particularly troubling since Biden says he already wants to go back to the Iran deal. They could just sit there and do nothing. But instead, they're being much more aggressive. They've increased nuclear enrichment, and this is really crucial because when you increase enrichment to 20%, it's not only a violation of the Iran deal. 20% enrichment is 90% of the work to get to enough enriched uranium to build a bomb. So they've just declared they're doing most of the work to get to the very end to where they can build material for a bomb, and they already have a missile and designs and everything else. So by sending more aggressive signs, as Biden is willing to appease them, that's not good. And the last one I'll touch on really quickly is North Korea. We don't, you know, it's very difficult to know what they want, but they just had the Party Congress. Kim came out very, very aggressive, completely trashed South Korea, which is to make him happy, basically sending, you know, very, very aggressive signs. So again, knowing he's not facing Trump anymore, he's willing to try to throw some elbows again. So all three of them are showing a tough face to Biden coming out of the box.
Well, we will be keeping our eyes peeled to see what happens. Currently, right now, the FBI and DOJ are giving an update of sorts on the Capitol riot. So we're going to come to that when we come back from a break. It's always good to have you on the show, Jim. We appreciate it. We know that you were in Washington, D.C. when all that stuff was happening. So we're grateful for your take on that as well. Thanks for
being here. No, thank you. Thank you for you guys. It's a great opportunity to be on your show. Thanks again.
We appreciate it. Follow Jim on Twitter at JJ Carafano or at heritage.org. Katie, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will weigh in with the update that they're giving right now on the Capitol Hill riot with the FBI and DOJ. We're going to take it from the beginning so you won't have missed anything. So stick around. That coverage when we return. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are grateful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Just a reminder, you can stream us at radio.com. Download that app, slap it on your phone, and take 97.1 FM Talk with you anywhere you go. You can listen to the rest of the shows on this station on there as well. Just find 97.1 FM Talk, put the heart next to it, and you got us with you anywhere you want to take us. Right now, officials from the Justice Department and the FBI are holding a briefing on the investigation into the Capitol riot. We're going to go ahead and take this from the top so you haven't missed anything. Let's listen into the latest developments that the Justice Department is aware of regarding Capitol riot.
Activities since the violence and destruction at the Capitol last week. The FBI is quite familiar with large-scale, complex, and fast-moving investigations. We are up to the challenge. As Director Wray says, the FBI does not do easy. To be clear, the brutality the American people watched with shock and disbelief on the 6th will not be tolerated by the FBI. The men and women of the FBI will leave no stone unturned in this investigation. Since these events, the FBI has worked hand in hand with the United States Attorney's Office and our law enforcement partners here in D.C. and across the country to arrest and charge multiple individuals who took part in the destruction. In 6 days, we have opened over 160 case files, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The significance of this investigation is not lost on us. This is a 24/7 full-bore, extensive operation into what happened that day. We cannot do our job without the help of the American people. Since our call for tips, videos, and pictures, we have received more than 100,000 pieces of digital media, which is absolutely fantastic. And we are scouring every one for investigative and intelligence leads. We continue to ask for more. If you have information, contact 1-800-CALL-FBI or submit photos and videos to fbi.gov/USCapitol, and that's Capitol with an O. I want to stress that the FBI has a long memory and a broad reach. Agents and our partners are on the streets investigating leads not only here in the D.C. area, but also across the country through the FBI's 56 field offices. So even, like I've said before, so even if you've left D.C., agents from our local field offices will be knocking on your door if we find out that you are part of the criminal activity at the Capitol. But before we do this, this is your opportunity to come forward, as several individuals who were involved in Wednesday's riots have done, to volunteer about their participation. In the weeks leading up to the January 6th rally, the FBI worked internally with every FBI field office to ensure they were looking for, that we were looking for any intelligence that may have developed about potential violence during the rally on January 6th. We developed some intelligence that a number of individuals were planning to travel to the D.C. area with intentions to cause violence. We immediately shared that information, and action was taken, as demonstrated by the arrest of Enrique Tarrio by the Metropolitan Police Department the night before the rally. Other individuals were identified in other parts of the country, and the travel subsequently disrupted. The FBI receives enormous amounts of information and intelligence, and our job is to determine the credibility and viability of it under the laws and policies that govern FBI investigations. We have to separate the aspirational from the intentional and determine which of the individuals saying despicable things on the internet are just practicing keyboard bravado or they actually have the intent to do harm. In the latter, we work diligently to identify them and prevent them from doing so. As offensive as a statement can be, the FBI cannot open an investigation without a threat of violence or alleged criminal activity. However, when that language does turn to a call of violence or criminal activity, the FBI is able to undertake investigative action. And in this case, we had no indication information was linked to any specific person, but this is a matter of an online discussion. This information was immediately disseminated through a written product and briefed through our command post operations to all levels of law enforcement. Part and parcel of our investigation into violent actors is the fact that we continue to gather intelligence that will aid in our ability to disrupt possible future violent activity. Suffice it to say, we are leveraging our relationships with federal, state, and local law enforcement partners, using our tools at our disposal to find and bring everyone involved in last week's criminal activity to justice. I'm now going to turn over to Acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherman.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I think I mentioned this before a few days ago that, just to begin, I think the scope and scale of this investigation in these cases are really unprecedented, not only in FBI history, but probably DOJ history, in which essentially the Capitol grounds outside and inside are essentially a crime scene, and a scale in which we have literally thousands of potential witnesses, and a scenario in which we're going to have, I believe, hundreds of criminal cases, both filed with our local courts, the Superior Court, and through the federal court system. So just to frame things, the enormity of this investigation is going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort, and this is not going to be solved overnight. It's not going to be solved within the coming weeks. It's not going to be solved within the coming months. This is going to be a long-term investigation, and rest assured, the Bureau, the Department of Justice, all the U.S. attorneys across the United States that are assisting these investigations, everyone is in for the long haul. So that being said, let's turn to the numbers that Steve referenced, and the numbers are going to geometrically increase. So as we sit here now, literally days after this event happened, we have already opened more than 170 subject files, meaning these individuals have been identified as potential persons that committed crimes on the Capitol grounds, inside and outside. So of those 170 cases that have already been opened, and I anticipate that's going to grow to the hundreds in the next coming weeks, we've already charged over 70 cases. And again, that number, I suspect, is going to grow into the hundreds. So what are the types of cases we initially charged? And I think there's some misconceptions, and I want to clarify some of those misconceptions, because given the enormity of the actors we saw both inside and outside the Capitol, the range of criminal conduct is really, I think, again, unmatched in any type of scenario that we've seen the FBI or the DOJ. We're looking at everything from simple trespass to theft of mail, to theft of digital devices with inside the Capitol, to assault on local officers, federal officers both outside and inside the Capitol, to the theft of potential national security information or national defense information, to felony murder, and even civil rights excessive force investigations. So just the gamut of cases and criminal conduct we're looking at is really mind-blowing, and that has really put an enormous amount of work on the plate of the FBI and field office throughout the entire United States. So let's look at those initial cases. And again, I want to clarify some misconceptions. When criminal conduct occurs, we try to obviously charge people as soon as possible. So the way, looking just at the federal system, we'll try to do that via criminal complaint. So when these actors left the Capitol, these individuals, these defendants, obviously, the impetus, the marching orders by federal law enforcement was to find, fix, and charge these individuals as fast as possible. So the prosecutors from the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, we looked for the most simple charge we could file as quick as possible. So therefore, the initial charges filed in these cases, a lot of them were misdemeanors. They were trespass cases. However, those cases were opened on those initial charges. We also had several firearms charges. We also had several felony charges that were open with assault and battery, illegal felonious possession of weapons. However, I want to clarify a misconception. This is only the beginning. So after these criminal charges are filed via criminal complaints, that allows us, that allows law enforcement across the United States to arrest people from Dallas to Arkansas to Nashville to Cleveland to Jacksonville. That's what's happened over the past several days. It's really quite incredible. Now, after those charges are filed, then we have the ability to then indict these individuals on more significant charges. And that's exactly what has happened. For example, yesterday, again, only days after this event happened, we had the grand jury in the District of Columbia up. It was booked throughout the entire day. And for several hour upon hour, prosecutors in our office presented felony cases, significant felony cases related to civil disorder, related to the possession of destructive devices, related to the possession of semi-automatic weapons that are illegal to possess in the district. So again, I just want to clarify that the initial charges we're filing, some of these misdemeanors, these are only the beginning. This is not the end. So what are we looking at downstream here? So in terms of what we're looking at is the initial charges everyone's familiar with, the zip tie guys, the Munchels, and the Brocks that were arrested on the House floor with zip ties rifling through the House floor. People are familiar with online. They see the Barnetts and Johnsons who were literally rifling through Pelosi's office and stealing items, stealing materials, mail, and sometimes even personal mementos. So those are the cases the public's familiar with. They're familiar with those cases because of social media. But what the public isn't familiar with is that the FBI, working with the U.S. Attorney's offices across the country, and the crux of those being in D.C., we're looking at significant felony cases tied to sedition and conspiracy. Just yesterday, our office organized a strike force of very senior national security prosecutors and public corruption prosecutors. Their only marching orders from me are to build seditious and conspiracy charges related to the most heinous acts that occurred in the Capitol. And these are significant charges that have felonies with prison terms of up to 20 years. In addition to that, we're looking and taking a priority with cases in which weapons were involved and cases in which destructive devices were involved. As people know through news reports, there were pipe bombs found outside the Capitol. The ATF is working on that. Metro Police is working on that. FBI is working on that to find that individual or individuals who planted those devices. So in addition to just those rogue cases we're looking at, we're going to focus on the most significant charges as a deterrent, because regardless of if it was just a trespass in the Capitol or if someone planted a pipe bomb, you will be charged and you will be found. In addition to that, we've also focused on an emphasis on assaults and batteries on police officers, both both federal officers and local MPD officers that were assaulted. And as the days go on, there's going to be more social media, and people will recognize that in some instances, MPD and Capitol Police were in open-handed combat with some of these persons inside the Capitol, where tear gas was used on the Capitol Police and federal officers, and they were also used against some of these rioters. So the picture is going to build. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what happened within the Capitol, and it's going to come into laser focus, I think, over the next weeks and days. And I think people are going to be shocked with some of the egregious contact that happened within the Capitol. The third area emphasis that our office is also focusing on is we set up a strike force to focus on assaults on the media. Some people aren't familiar that some of those rioters specifically targeted members of the media and assaulted them. So we have assigned specific prosecutors in our office to focus on those cases as well. And I'm naming all these different strike forces to just emphasize, regardless of who the victim was, regardless of who the perpetrator was, we're treating all of these cases equally. Thank you very much.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys.
So they're going to take questions here, and these questions are going to be phoned in to the FBI and the DOJ, and we'll listen in and take a few before we go to a break just to get a follow-up on what they've been saying about the Capitol riot. Let's listen back in.
For us, what intelligence did the FBI gather before the assault on the Capitol about the potential for violence, and how did it share it, and did it share it to the Capitol Police?
We received a lot of intelligence, like I said in my statement, a lot of intelligence and information through all different means, be it through social media or through CHS's, sources. And then we have a sharing mechanism with JTTFs. Across the country, we have Joint Terrorism Task Forces. And in this city, in D.C., we have a very robust JTTF. And in that, we have Capitol Police, Park Police, MPD, and all the other federal law enforcement partners. We shared intelligence through the JTTF model, and we also shared it through our command post structure, and then also through other means of they have access to our information readily available because they have access to our systems. So all that information was shared with our partners, and then we went from there.
The next question is from Evan Perez from CNN. Please go ahead.
Wondering if you could tell us, perhaps, if you found any indication so far to indicate that there was some level of planning and coordination for these people to go into the Capitol and carry out this attack, rather than just a spontaneous mob that got out of control. And then, secondly, if you could, at least Senator Schumer has talked about the possibility that some people might be put on the no-fly list. Of these 170 case subject files that you've already opened, can you tell us whether you've added any of those people to a no-fly list as a result of what happened?
So we're looking at all different avenues here. So my agents and analysts and all the other FBI personnel in my office and across the country are scrubbing video. We're talking to witnesses. We're talking to individuals that we arrest. And we're gathering that picture, that intelligence, if you will, to understand what happened on the 6th that day in the Capitol, outside the Capitol. We talk to all law enforcement partners, and it's not just the FBI doing this, it's all of our law enforcement partners as well that are working in conjunction with Acting U.S. Attorney's Mike Sherwin's office and our local office here too as well. So we're sharing that intelligence amongst each other. We're putting into the intelligence cycle that the FBI has to try to ascertain the true picture of what happened that day. As for the no-fly list, we look at all tools and techniques that we possibly can use within the FBI, and that's something that we are actively looking at.
So you've been listening to the update from the DOJ, the FBI, regarding the Capitol riot last week. Some of the information that they have, some of the developments that they have been able to share with us. So I wanted to make sure we brought that to you. If you wanted to hear that back again, you can go to radio.com. Find the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk and click click rewind. It's a pretty cool feature. You can rewind the radio. Who knew? What is this, 2021? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tony Colombo is going to join us in studio for a little Signs of the Apocalypse. And we're going to put our feet up for the next 20 minutes here before we turn it up to the DGS. Stick around, Tony Colombo, when we come back. Free so we talked, while we wait for Tony Colombo to show up here, we talked about New Year's resolutions. Mine was to walk every day. Or to do Beachbody. I can't say I'm nailing that, but I talked to my doctor the last time I was there. I was like, I am so tired. Like, mentally exhausted. I was telling Katie and Ryan when I got off the air yesterday, probably by about 4:45, I was sitting in my chair. And you ever get so tired that you can't, like, open your eyes? Like, you're not sleeping, but it's just like you can't even stomach the thought of moving. Does that, you ever get that tired?
Yes.
I'm pregnant, so that's the added, you know, consideration to it. And my doctor said, he goes, if you're that tired, you need rest. Your body's telling you need to rest. So I can't say that I've been doing it every day. I could be doing better at my New Year's resolution. What about you, Ryan? What have you, how is the progress on your book? You've got 12 days into the year. Have you done anything with it yet?
Yeah, it's, we're doing the final sweep. Me and my editor, who is my wife.
My editor and I.
Yeah. Oh, doggone it.
I wouldn't have busted you on that if you weren't talking about editing.
Well, that's why I need an editor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just doing one final voice sweep of the book because it's got 9 characters and they all have a particular way of speaking. So I have to make sure they're all separate and they seem separate. So that's the last thing we're doing.
All right. Katie, what about you? You journaling?
Not every day. Not every day. But every other day, I would say, I'm journaling, which is not me upholding to my New Year's Eve resolution.
But you're doing it more than
trying.
You did before.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
That's what it is. Tony Colombo in studio with us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. What's
How
happening?
How are you? Not a lot. Nothing's happening. There's nothing going on to talk
nothing
about.
Nothing at all.
Tough to fill a show.
That's why you're here, to give us the content that people need.
Now, Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Content. What you got?
There's a new dating app called Go Getter. It's supposed to be for people.
You do a lot of research on dating apps.
I do a lot of research on strange stories.
We have a lot of stories about dating apps from
True.
Tony Colombo.
It's supposed to be for people who like to be active and go hiking and camping and that stuff.
What's
but
it called?
It's called Go Getter.
Oh.
But that's not the big gimmick. The real hook is you have to pay for your matches. So when you match with someone on the app, you both have to pay with their digital currency, whatever that is, which comes to out to around
Bitcoin.
$100 per match, maybe. Not a lot, but it's definitely more than zero and definitely more than anybody else does. And the founders of GoGetter say that's the point. By spending money on matches, you have, quote, skin in the game. No pun intended.
You're also stupid.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
that way
because
you don't
it
just
makes
randomly
it
match with every single person. Like,
yeah.
You
exactly.
Don't just hit match with everybody trying to
it's
cast
useful.
A wide net.
Yeah,
how much you pay?
It's a little bit more useful.
About $1 a match.
See, that's great. I really like that because
so
there's a reason why when people do concerts and stuff, they'll usually charge $1,
yeah.
Even if they want it to be a free concert,
so if
they'll charge
$1.
So Katie
and Ryan are going through the app and they stumble upon each other's pictures and Katie matches to Ryan and Ryan matches to Katie, they can't actually communicate until they each pay $1. So you can't
so
just
it's not,
match, it, match, 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 match.
So you get to see your matches without paying. To,
yeah.
To connect, you have to pay.
Correct. Which is different from other apps.
I thought you were
still
saying you had to like pay just to see who you matched to. I'm like, well, what if they're what if I see them and I'm like, I'm not interested in that.
That dollar
That's
still
different.
Doesn't change the mindset of the person going into it being like, I actually want to date or I want to hook up or I want to marry. Like, that doesn't change the intention of what that person's going into. So I don't know if it really matters.
Except that you're not going to just match as many people. You're not just going to like,
yeah,
this person, this person, this person, this person, because you're not going to want to spend all that money.
Gosh, Tony, how many matches do you have?
Oh.
All the ladies.
Zillions.
You got that kind of dough?
Watch out, Christine. I'm kidding.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I got that kind of money.
I love Christine.
I got that kind of matches and that kind of money. What is happening? All right, everybody.
It's
I got
hard
a story
to
tell you. Snuggle under the blankets. Let Uncle Tony spin you a yarn.
What
here
now?
Tony.
Strange transition.
My
Let's
dad
see where this takes us.
Tonight's story is a lesson. A lesson on how not to use social media. It's also a lesson on how to not make friends.
Okay.
There's a 29-year-old guy named Caleb in North Carolina. Caleb used to work at an oil well maintenance company with a 39-year-old guy named Robert. But poor Caleb was laid off. After being laid off, Caleb apparently missed Robert's friendship, so he sent him a Facebook friend request. But Robert didn't accept it. So Caleb started sending Facebook messages to Robert demanding that he accept his friend request, including one that said, quote, accept my friend request or I'm going to murder you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd probably accept it at that point.
Robert,
no.
Call the police.
Robert, surprisingly, still didn't accept Caleb's friend request. So Caleb went to Robert's house and kicked in the front door.
Oh, my gosh.
One of Robert's family members called 911, and Caleb was arrested for burglary and
I wonder why he didn't accept the friend request in the first place.
This is
maybe Caleb had some
this is
issues.
Not behavior that you should use on social
not
media.
Not acceptable
kids.
Behavior.
No,
you
this
sure?
is not how social media nor friendship works. Mm.
Did he get screened by Facebook, though?
I don't know. That's a great question.
All of my friends have been pressured into liking me, so this is a revelation.
Mm-hmm. Just tell them you like Trump at one point in time, and you take care of that.
I don't know if this is a sign of the apocalypse or if it's actually brilliant. The University of California, San Diego, has installed coronavirus test kit vending machines.
Oh, okay. I see that. Then you don't have to like be in contact with people. Are they the tests that you take yourself and... It's like a pregnancy test. Like you
I
take the test.
So, yeah. That's
and
the...
you get the results yourself?
Mm-hmm.
We need more of that.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Vending machines.
Do you have to socially distance at the vending machine? There's like a crowd of people around it.
You know what? If you're ever going to sanitize your hands after touching something,
no joke.
The coronavirus test kit vending machine is the thing.
Here's the real question. How much do they cost?
Yeah, doesn't say. I imagine it's the same price as...
How much does the test cost?
Typically around $100.
Mine have been free.
No, the ones if you go to a store and buy one.
Oh, I didn't even know that we have those available.
Yeah. You can go to stores. You can go to the sanitizer and mask wholesale store.
Yeah, mine have been free.
Yeah, if you go to the doctor, it's free. But if you go to a store and buy them, I think they're typically about $100. Between $100 and $200, yeah.
Makes the dating app seem kind of cheap.
That's a good point. All right, everybody. Time to feel old.
Oh, boy.
Movies.
Even Katie?
Yeah. Movies turning 20.
Oh, no.
This year. Shrek?
No!
20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Monsters seems older.
Inc.
Katie, it just... Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
No!
Way better than Shrek.
Years.
Shrek. Katie, it just gets worse from here.
Yeah.
Gosh, no.
Brace yourself.
Zoolander?
Never seen.
Oh, wow.
Black Hawk Down.
What? These are great movies.
I know, and they're 20 years old.
I guess I was in third grade watching all that, yeah.
Harry
Black
Potter.
Hawk Down.
Black Hawk Down.
Dad, I'm
going to watch a movie tonight. Let's watch Black Hawk Down.
I want to see Black Hawk Down.
And Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Whoa.
I've never seen a
Harry Potter
movie.
20 years.
Is your family Harry Potter, Tony Colombo?
You know what? I didn't watch Harry Potter. We did not get into any of those movies until about a year ago when Maggie, our middle kid, got into it. And they're awesome. They're great.
They're great.
You're
officially on board?
Yo, big time. Like,
so
all
the first
in,
Harry Potter came out 20 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first Harry Potter movie came out.
We've never seen any of them. And my husband and I were just talking about maybe getting into them and watching with the kids so that when we go to Universal Studios someday that you can go to... Because from what I understand, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but if you're a Harry Potter person and you go to Universal Studios, the Harry Potter world
is supposed to be amazing.
Like nothing else that exists in Orlando. Yep. So
yep,
I've been.
Cool.
Yeah, they're great. The movies are great.
Fantastic.
All right.
Is there an age minimum on those? Can my 4-year-old watch those?
There's the first
two for sure.
The
early ones are more kid friendly.
Yeah, the first two for sure.
Is the limit just that it's kind of scary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scary. And they get as Harry Potter and the kids in the movies grow up, it gets a little more like by the end it's
violence.
A little more violent and there's a little more, you know, adult situations.
But the first three are very
nothing like bad or anything.
I mean, if my kids watch Marvel movies, they could watch these.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially, like I said, especially the first two are very kid friendly. Let's do these while we still have a minute here. So, people, those were the movies. Here are the songs.
Uh-oh.
Turning 20. Smooth Criminal, the alien ant farm version.
Whoa. You want to know who knows about that? This girl, because in high school, I was a junior, and just what you need is somebody screaming into a song, Annie, are you okay? So that every passing period,
20
all the
years ago,
seniors would be screaming, Annie, are you okay? Like it was funny every time.
Bootylicious and Survivor by Destiny's Child.
What was the first one?
Bootylicious.
Oh,
and
that's
Survivor
my jam.
By Destiny's Child. Ride With Me by Nelly.
Yes.
If you want to go and take a ride with me.
Yeah, I like that.
And Miss
I love
Jackson.
All these.
Yeah, and Miss Jackson by Outkast.
Where did Outkast go?
Is 20 years old.
Was that where you were playing at weddings whenever you were DJing?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of them. That's a good, that was definitely a good wedding jam.
Yep. Man, I graduated in 02, and so those are all right in the wheelhouse of high school for me.
20 years ago. That's nuts. Ride With Me by Nelly. 20 years. That's
Tony,
nuts.
Thanks for being here. We always love having you on the show.
Yeah, love being here.
Have a great day.
Back at you.
We appreciate you. Stick around. The Dave Glover Show is coming up next, and they will have you all the updated information that you need to know. Plus, you'll be laughing all the way home, as usual. So stick around for that. You can listen to them on radio.com, just like you can listen to this show on radio.com. You can subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast there as well, in case you missed anything. DGS up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.